You feel you make yourself at home here, you tell me what you want me to move. I can close it up and stand it if that's better. Rabbi said, let's go over the sugya inside. And we're on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. Going on to Daf Dalet Amud Beis. This sugya that we're doing today is a hemshech of the sugya before with regard to the maskir and the socher. So we came to the conclusion that if the maskir is holding on to the maftechos when night falls on the 14th, then he, the maskir, is chayev in bedika. So we're now five lines up from the bottom of the page. Boy minei Rav Nachman bar Yitzchak maskir bais lechaver bar basar cheskaso boduk o ein cheskaso boduk. So it means, does the socher have the right to assume that the maskir fulfilled his responsibility? So the Gemara says, l'mainaf gemino l'shaile. We should ask him. Let's find out if the maskir did the bedika. I mean, he's a reliable fellow. If he tells you he did the bedika, you could trust him. He's not around. And therefore the suffix is la truche lahai mai. Should we assume that the maskir did the bedika or no? We have to be mechayev the socher to do the bedika. Omalahu Rav Nach bar Yitzchak tenisua. I have a brisa to prove to you. Hakol ne'amonim al bir chametz. Everyone's believed to have established that there was a destruction of the chametz. Afilu noshim, afilu avodim, afilu ktanim. So Gemara says the following: my time of Mehemni, why should we believe these? Again, we're not sure what he's referring to. Is he referring to Isha? Is he referring to Evid? If he's a cotton, let's say the case of cotton, all the Rishonim agree that a cotton has no nemonus. So the Gemara here is on Daf Dalet Amud Beis says La Mishum Dechazkoso Boduk. It must be that we have a chazaka that the house was checked. So Tos says the following: Tema. My salkadaitach, the ibach has kosu bodukim came matzorch labir dahani klal. Why does the Brisa say we rely on the isha, on the evid, on the cotton? I mean, if it's got a has kosu boduk, then you don't need their amir at all. The omer read the myri kagon shabal bias ba'ir. So the maskir is somewhere in the city, and we can track him down and ask him if he did bedika. But afagav the cheskos of boduk, even though we have this concept called cheskas boduk, but nevertheless, if we can ask, we have to ask, right? But in this case, we don't have to ask. Why? Because mahani amiril dehani delo shaylinan. So we can, instead of asking the question, we can rely on these individuals who tell us that there was a bedika.
Yeah. You always have to do a birur before you use a chazaka.
Well, that's what we're going to discuss today. So let's hold off on that just till we get ourselves oriented. I just wanted to go through the Gemara just quickly and make sure we remember the sugya. So the Gemara says the following: what sets up this cheskas of baduk? What is the underlying principle that generates cheskas of baduk? Because we hold a kol chaverim heim eitzel bedikas chametz. Now this principle of a kol chaverim heim is really a borrowed principle. If you take a look, if you fast forward for a moment to Daf Tes Amud Aleph, the Gemara there sets up what's called a cheskas chaver. And the case is where a chaver died, and he left fruits, he left grains, and we're not sure, was he mafresh maser or was he not mafresh maser? And the nafkamina is going to be whether it's tevel or not. So the Gemara therefore goes through this whole thing called cheskas chaver. That a chaver is someone that is reliable, and we assume that he did what he had to do. And even though it was vadei tevel, the Gemara says, we can rely on the fact that it's vadei maser, meaning its maser was taken off. And that's based on a cheskas chaver. And here the Gemara quotes the same brisa. Chaver shemes v'yiniach megura shel megura malea peros hafilein b'nei yomon, even on that very day that he died, harei hein b'cheskas misukonim. Misukonim means tikkun, that he took off the maaseh. So the Gemara wants to apply that principle of cheskas chaver from trumas and maaseros to the case of bedika, and assume that there is a halacha of chaver. Now, it's interesting because in the case of trumas and maaseros, there we need a chaver. We have to establish him as a chaver, as opposed to an amoritz, let's say. Here, in the case of bedikas chametz, the Gemara says, hakol chaverim heim etzel bedikas chametz. So whereas in trumas and maaseros, we don't rely on amoritz. But here, in the case of bedikas chametz, there's no such thing as an amoritz. That's what Rashi points out on the top of the page. Even Amoritz is believed, is relied upon that he did the Bedika. As far as Bedika, he has a Cheskas Chaver, is concerned, even though he's an Amoritz. In other words, a Chaver will not let the time pass, but he will implement his obligation immediately. The Gemara says no. There's no proof. Umimai. Dilma, shiny hocha, mishum de kamri hani. The Gemara says the following. Maybe this price is not based on a cheskas chaver, and a kol chaver meitzel bedikas chametz, but rather it's based on their amira. So the Gemara says, what do you mean, their amira? Otu amira dahani midi mishasha isbei. So again, let's take the easy case. In the case of a katan, we don't believe a katan. He doesn't have nemanus in Bezdin. And therefore, what are you telling me? That we don't have a cheskas baduk? We're just relying on the katan? So the Gemara says, elamai cheskas baduk, if there really is such a thing as a cheskas baduk, is hi, what does the b'risa mean when it says hakol ne'monim al, hakol ne'monim, everyone's believed to say that it was baduk. The b'risa should have said kol abatim b'cheskas bedukim b'arbasar. That's the language that would have been appropriate to tell me and establish the principle of cheskas baduk. And now the Gemara goes back again. Ella, if it's not cheskas baduk, then you're going to have to rely on these amira, but we just finished saying that we cannot rely on their amira. Elamai mishum amira dahani, holo amri hani lo, and in the absence of their claim that there was a bedika, we would not rely on the fact that there was a cheskas baduk and there was a bedika. Is tifshob minei? Now we have to come to the opposite conclusion. The ein cheskas baduk, that there is no such halacha as cheskas baduk hakol chaver meitzel bedikas chametz. Because again, if you're telling me that the only reason why we can assume that the bedika was done was because of their claim, their testimony, then it means that there is no cheskas baduk, because if there would be a cheskas baduk, then we wouldn't need their testimony. So Gemara says, nay, in general, you're right. We have such a thing called a cheskas baduk. In this particular case, there's an exception. The circumstances are such that we don't rely on the cheskas baduk. And why is that? The muchzak lon de lo bodak. Rashi explains, what's the muchzak lon? Why is there circumstantial evidence indicating that he didn't make a bedika? Rashi says, because he left immediately after nightfall. And kigon shera'inu tarud, o yotza mibod yom, he left even before nightfall, a derech. The amri hani, and these say, anan badkinu, we made the vedika. So the Gemara says, okay, fine. So the chazoka here, in this exceptional case, is the lo badak. Ma'u detema, the chiddush of this brisa, is lo lehemnu rabbanon. We're not going to trust them for bedikas chametz. Kamash malon came into bedikas chametz min rabbananu to midoraisa bebitul bal masagi, is therefore hemnu rabbanon bin rabbanon. So again, the final conclusion of this sugya seems to be, number one, that if all things are equal, except for an exceptional case, we have what's called a cheskas baduk, and that establishes that hakol chaverim eitzel bedikas chametz, and we rely on that. If, on the other hand, circumstances seem to indicate that there was no bedika, then, of course, we need another bedika, unless we can ask these individuals, and they can claim that they did the bedikah. Why would they be believed to do the bedikah? So Gemara says, because it's only the Rabbanah. We've already covered our basis as far as Dorais is concerned with Bittul. And now when you drop down to the level of the Rabbanon, then Himnu Rabbanah be the Rabbanon. It's like a Heim Amru for Heim Amru, and the Rabbanon rely on them. Tosus here, Dibra Maskel Himnu Rabbanah be the Rabbanon, wonders, why do we need that principle here? Even if it would have been a Doraisa, we have a principle called Biyado. Like for example, Maisim b'chol yom tos, it says, Anam aminim le'isha le'evet al ha'shchita, al ha'nikur. He could have also mentioned a tefillah b'mikvah. So we have a principle called biyado. So Tosus gives an answer that with regard to b'dikas chametz, we don't really have a biyado. Why? Because it's a tircha yisera, Tosus says. It's our digdu gadol. So normally we would say it's biyado. And if a woman says that she did the bedikah, we certainly rely on her. But here's an exception to the rule because it's a tircha yisera. And it's tarch digdug gadol. Then he brings a Yerushalmi to support that, and so forth and so on. Now there's one other principle that we have to indicate here. That's what Yosef was pointing out before. That the Gemara says that there is a requirement of asking the maskir if he's available for questioning, and find out straight from the horse's mouth if he actually did the bedikah. So what I want to go through with you now is this page number 34 in the notes of Rav Aaron Kahn, and he says the following. If you take a look at Rashi adds two words over here, which you can easily miss. And Rashi says that Mimachzikin le'lahai maskir devadai bodko vadai bodko emesh kimitzvas chachomim. So Rashi says that we're talking about a case where the socher is taking over the house on the day of Yudalid, and he wants to know if the maskir did the bedik on the night of Yudalid. So Rashi says that this cheskas baduk is based on the fact that a person will fulfill the mitzvah chachamim, which means to do the bedikah at night. Devarei bodko emesh, Rashi says. He certainly checked the house last night, and he did so because that's the mitzvah chachamim. Now, in order to explain what's going on here, the Rav decides that we should go through a Shakla Vitaria in a Gemara a little bit later on in the Perek, and that's on Daf Tes. The Gemara wants to know, on Daf Tes, what's the difference between Madoras Akum, which I'll explain in a second, and the case where you saw an Achbar taking Chometz into the house. In the case of Madoras Akum, the Gemara says the following. If a guy is living in the house, then we have to be worried about Tumah, about the possibility that they buried a Nefel underneath the ground of the house. And that would be a big Chumrah for a Kohen. He's not allowed to go in there. And the Gemara says if the family lived, this non-Jewish family lived in the house for 40 days, which is again the Kedei Yetzirus Vlad as far as Tum is concerned. So the Vlad is already Metame if it's Apollo after 40 days. Then we have to worry about Tumah. So the Gemara asks the following question. The Mishnah says, or by implication at least, that if we saw an Achbar entering into the house with Chametz, then we need bedika. So the Gemara asks the following question. With regard to Maduras Akum, if it's a Mokum Shechul Dovachazi Yecholim Lahalach Sham, Ein Tzarech Bedika. The assumption is that if it was the flesh of this Nebuch, this little 40-day-old Hapolo was left around and it was buried, then the Chuld and the Chazir, they smell out the meat of the human flesh in this case, and they'll take it away. And therefore, there's no din of tumah in the maduras akum. New in this case also, if you're assuming that the chazir or the chulda in the case of maduras akum will consume the meat, and therefore there's no tumah at all, why not make the same assumption in the case of chametz? That if the chulda went in, the chulda probably ate up the chametz. So if Zera says lo kasha, habe basar v'habe lechem, then in case of basar, the chulda and the chazir will eat up the basar, and that's it. There's no tumah left. However, in the case of chametz, even if the chulda will eat the chametz, it won't eat up all the chametz. Some of the chametz will be left over. Amar Rava. Rava says no. The whole kasha is not a kasha at all. Hi, my bishleim ahasam. In the case of maduras akum, emer hava, emer lo hava. We don't know that there's a nefel there, that there's a dora mitame in the madura in the house, and therefore imtim tzalomer. You want to be machmir for the suffek that maybe there is tuma there. Is emer achalte? In other words, you have one suffek against the other suffek. One suffek is there a nefel there? And number two, even if there is a nefel, maybe the chazir and the chulda ate the nefel. So I don't know that the chazir and the chulda will eat the nefel, but it's enough of a suffek to remove the original suffek that there might be a nefel there. But here in the case of chametz, devadai de chazina de shakil, we certainly saw in front of our eyes that the achbar or the chulda took the chametz into the house. So we have a vadai chametz in the house. Mi yemer dachalte. Do we assume that the chazir or the chulda ate the chametz? Havi sofek uvadai. Notice we start with the vadai chametz. Now we have a sofek if it ate. So again, if you started with the sofek, that's the case of maduras akum, says Rava, then the sofek dilma achlute would be enough to remove for the original sofek. But if you're talking about vadai, and now you have a suffik, maybe the chametz was eaten up by the achbar. Ein suffik, motzi midei vadai. So the Gemara says, what do you mean ein suffik, motzi midei vadai? That's not so. V'atanya chaver shemes v'iniach megora malea peros. There you know it was tevel. And now you're saying, maybe the chaver, before he died, he was mafrish maser. Hocha vadai de tvili havi, hani peri. Suffik musarim, suffik lo musarim. We don't know if he was maser or not. So here's where the Gemara formulates a principle of chaver, of what's called a cheskas chaver. That's why Rav Soloveitchik is so eager to see this Gemara. The Gemara says, nein, in the case of a chaver, it's not vadei and sofik, it's vadei and vadei. Why is it vadei and vadei? Hosam vadei vadehu. Why the vadei ma'asre? We can definitely assume that he was mafresh maser.
Kidder Rav Chanani. Vadai means it was vadai tevel and not.
Right. The Gemara at this point is not questioning the premise that it was vadai tevel. Later on, the Gemara is going to say maybe he took it in bemotes and it wasn't tevel. But right now, the Gemara is assuming that it's vadai tevel. So now, if it's vadai tevel, why don't we apply the principle of ein sofik motzi? That you want to say that the chaver was mafresh maser and removed tevel? How do you know that? It's only a suffix. One says name. It's not a suffix, it's a vadai. So this is the source for this principle of cheskas chaver. And how powerful is cheskas chaver? The Omer Rab Chanina chuzah cheskas chazok al chaver shein emotzi mitachas yodah dover shein emesukon. And that chazokah creates a vadai. So Rav Soloveitchik is a little bit confused here, because if cheskas chaver creates a vadai, so let's go back to our Gemara. I'll just quickly read through the text over here. He says, Rav Zera chilik bein basar v'lechem. Fine. Oh, v'rava sover, d'ein tzarch l'chalik bein basar v'lechem, d'afilu m'shairei bein basar. Even if I were to tell you that we don't know for sure that the chulda would have completely consumed the basar, and therefore you're only left with a suffek, did the chulda remove the tumah, consume the tumah or not? Mikolakom b'madora sa'akum havi chashoshim b'alma. We don't even know that there was an nefel there to begin with. The emer lo hava. Avol b'chametz came into chazina l'chulda. Shenich nesosham b'chametz havi suffek uvad v'ein suffek motzim v'dei vad. So Rav Soloveitchik wants to claim the following. There's something called aruba de lesser kamon. A Ruben the Lesser Kama means a Rov that's based on psychology, on nature, you know, the way that the universe operates, there's a Rov. And he says the following, that although the Chulda will probably eat up the Chametz, or will probably consume the Basar, nevertheless, Ruben the Lesser Kama, how powerful is this Rov? He says, it's a machria, in other words, if we have a suffix, a pure suffix, then we'll rely on this rov. Avalo levatel cheskas isur. Here's where Rava makes a distinction. In the case of Maduris Akum, we don't know if there was a nefel there to begin with, so we don't have a cheskas isur, we have a suffix isur. And here the Torah can rely on rov. But in the case of chametz, where we know that the chametz went into the house, that creates a vadai cheskas isur, and although there's a rov, which he calls a ruvah the lesser kamon, because again, ruvah the lesser kamon is only in Bezdin when you can count the people in front of you, or maybe teisha chanuyos. But he says in a ruvah the lesser kamon, which is based on nature, that's not enough to be motzi midei cheskas isur. So this is a whole new perspective on what Rav's distinction. When does Rav say that a rov is okay? That's only against a suffek. But if it's against the cheskas isur, then we don't rely on rov. So again, in Maduras Akum, we can rely on rov because we don't have a cheskas isur. Well, in this case, a cheskas tuma. But in the case of chametz, we have a cheskas chametz, which generates a vada. We saw the chametz go in. And now we have to wonder whether or not we can rely on the rov that the chulda, in this case, would have eaten up the chametz. That's a ruvah the lesser kamon. Could that be mafkia? Could that be powerful enough to undermine the cheskas isur? And the answer is no. In this case, ruvah the lesser kamon is not powerful. That's called ein safek motzi b'dei vadai. So the Gemara asks, what about the case of chomer shemes? In that case, we have a cheskas vadai tevel. And the Gemara answers that here also we have a vadai. Why? Because the cheskas chover sheinu motzi mitachas yod dover sheinu mesukon. So it comes out that the chover is not considered a rov. It's not like the case of a chulda, which we assume al pi rov would eat the basar or eat the chametz. In the case of a chover, we have to jack it up one notch, because otherwise we're stuck with a cheskas isur because it was vadai tevel. So the answer is that we're going to have to say that this cheskas chover is more powerful than a ruba the lesser kamon. The moil and this chazok on a chover is such a powerful statistical probability. It's so reliable that it works even to be mafkia cheskas isur of tevel. So now we have two concepts. We have one concept called ruba the lesser kamon. And Ruben the Lesser Kamon is powerful enough in the case of Suffolk, but not strong enough to override a Cheskas Isur. And we have another concept, which is called Cheskas Chover. And with regard to a Cheskas Chover, it's a rov that's much more powerful and much more convincing and reliable than a Ruben the Lesser Kamon. And it creates a Vadai, such that now it becomes Vadai Vadai.
So when there's a Ruben Chazak or Ruben Adif, that's not the Ruben the Lesser Kamon that we're talking about?
When we say Ruba Chazok or Ruba Adif, that's going to be a different kind of a rov. That's going to have to be a rov that, as we'll soon see, doesn't have what's called a Miud Hanikar. And it's such a convincing rov, let's say 95%, that it doesn't. It can even remove a Cheskas Isur.
Ruba Chazok is two kinds of Chazok. Chazok is precedent that we know for sure is like that. And then the other Chazok is a word for Ruba Les Kaman. Chazok that somebody doesn't do this.
The Chazak
can mean one of two things.
Yeah. So Rabosa, you want to just read another few lines here and we'll get the whole picture. He's saying the following. That when you're talking about Teva, when you talk about nature, he says, Masha mevusas al derech ha-teva bilvad, like chulda, that it'll eat the chametz, eat the basar, that's not a strong rove. It's a rove. Maybe you could call it, 60% or 70%, whatever it is, but it's not a strong rove. Aval b'chaver, here's another element into the equation. And what is that element? It's kiyum mitzvah. If you recall, we were trying to explain Rashi. Rashi says that the sochik rely on the cheskas chaver of the maskir because kimitzvas chachomin. Do you remember that Rashi that we started with? So Rav Salvechik wants to explain, why does Rashi emphasize this element of kimitzvas chachomin? The answer is that Rashi wants to indicate the jack up here, you know, the increment between what we call a rov that's based on teva and a cheskas chaver. A cheskas chaver is not just teva. It's something that goes beyond that. It creates a vadai. And why? Because it's a zahirus in mitzvahs. When the Torah requires you to do something, then the assumption is that you do it. And that creates a azar rov, such a strong rov, that is powerful enough to be mafkia from a cheskas isur. But rov chuldos, if you're talking about rov chuldos, that they'll consume the meat or the chametz, that still has a miut. Whereas in Chaverim, we assume kulam eino menichim dover bilti mesukon. So this is the Rashi here on Daf Tes. Rashi says the following. Now, if you want to look at the Rashi inside, when the lines get a little wider in Rashi, drop down about six lines down. Do you have such a Rashi? Rashi says, just like you knew for sure it was tevel, it's also pshitale, Rashi says, that he was mafresh the maser. This is not, Rashi says, we're not stuttering him. Maybe, you know, we think, and it's probable, it's likely. El chazoka vaday al kol achaverim. Rashi says, whoever fits the category of a chaver, it's a vadai that he removed it. So Rav Salvechik wants to say, how do you conceptualize this? You know, when does this principle apply that all of a sudden the rov becomes like a vadai? And he says that's a rov that's based on a mitzvah, based on zahirus. And that creates a cheskas chaver for those who fit the category of a chaver. They're definitely going to be committed to do the mitzvah properly as they're obligated to do so. And as a result, it creates a vada. Nei says the following, that in chametz, the very fact that it's a mokum shemachnisim bo chametz, so let's go back to basics, right? You have to do a bedika on your house. Why? Because during the course of the year you bring chametz in there. That creates a cheskas isur, which means a cheskas eino boduk. The house is not boduk. Yeah. Our Gemara is vacillating on the following issue. Is there a chazakah that a person would be bodek, and that's based on the kiyuma mitzvah, that a person at night, you know, the night of Yudalit would fulfill the mitzvah? And Rashi seems to imply that if it was from one hour to the other, you wouldn't be able to apply cheskas chaver, but the chiyuv is to do it at night, because oraner yofel bedika. In kein ulai cheskas bedika mahani, and it works so much that you don't even have to be a chaver, you're considered a chaver. That's what Rashi says here, akol. Right, the Gemara says Hakol Chaverim Eitzel Bedikas Chametz, and therefore everyone is in the category of a Chaver as far as Bedikas Chametz is concerned. So therefore, Gabi Kol Adam, we have like the case of Chaverim in Tevel She'enon Motzi Dover She'en Mesuka Mitachas Yodo. Is that works in the case of Bedikas Chametz, or do we say no, that it's not Hakol Chaver makes the Bedikas Chametz? Maybe Bedikas Chametz is such a headache, like we said before, we wouldn't have, if not for the fact that we reduced it to a drabbana with bittul, we wouldn't have relied on an isha. Even though, again, Tosus insists that an isha is believed midoraisa for many things that are beyond them. But here it's different. He says the following. Now I get stuck with one word. He's bothered by one word in the Gemara, and that's on Daf. Dalit Amid Alf. The Gemara says in the Shaili that if the maskir is in town, if he's available, we have to ask him. Now that doesn't sound so tragic.
I mean, it'll
cost you a dime for a phone call today. It's free, probably, right? So why, if we're saying that the Yisodos here of Cheskas Chaver to create a Vadai, and it's such a powerful rove that it's all able to remove and contradict the Cheskas Isur, then why do you even have to bother asking him? What bothers Rav Soloveitchik? So what bothers Rav Soloveitchik is a sugya in Chulin, which is brought down at the beginning of Yoredeya, as far as Bedikas Trefos, which means that after he did the Shechita, Does he have to check the animal, the body of the animal, to make sure it's not a treifa? And the halacha establishes that there's a difference between what's called a rea, the lungs, and all the other animal, all the other 18, 17 parts of the animal. In terms of all the other treifos, there's no need, excuse me, there's no need for a bedik at all. But only in the case of rea is there a din of bedika. So what's the reason for this? Here the Rav is basing himself on the Ramban and on the Vilna Gaon at the beginning of Bir Agra, at the beginning of Yoredeya, that there's a difference between bedikas rea and the rest of the treifos. He says, with regard to bedikas rea, we have something called a miut hanikar, a significant minority. In other words, one out of every five animals, let's say, has a treifa problem. Okay, I don't want to get off on a tangent, but there may be certain animals that have a higher percentage. You know, there are people who don't need geese. What's it called when you buy geese? Is there another word for it? No?
A goose.
A goose, right. So there's a fellow here, an Altayeki from Switzerland, who, I forgot his name right now. Does anybody remember his name? He sells geese. No? You never went there? Well, you have to be rich to go there. I was treated. I mean, it's like really expensive.
You mean the restaurant?
Yeah, what's it called?
El Oshon doesn't exist
anymore. But doesn't exist anymore? Oh my gosh.
Which restaurant?
That restaurant was like 100 years old.
Yeah.
What was it called?
I'm trying to remember the name of it. He was a Swiss guy from
Alenia Malka.
Alenia Malka.
It's good stuff.
Yeah, it was good stuff. And if you like goose, you know, geese,
Hess.
Excellent Hess. Yeah. He used to tell you about his Alte Zeder, you know, back in the Germany. You know, he was a Swiss guy.
Stop.
Anyway, so getting back to this, he says with regard to most animals, let's say, the percentage of treifas in rea is quite high, relatively high. He says in parentheses, which I don't think the Rav said this, but anyway, he says it's about 20%. Okay, fine. And he says that you need a birur. In other words, the Rav is still not over the precipice, meaning it's not 100% of a Rav, it's a significant miut. And therefore you need a bedika. However, yeser atreifos, this is on page 35, lo boi birur al yedei bedika. Why? Because, okay, again, I don't know if this is Rav Soloveitchik speaking, I'm not sure, he says it's less than 7%. I mean, this has tremendous repercussions, by the way, so that's why I wonder if Rav Soloveitchik would have said such a thing. I heard these shiurim, but I don't remember him talking about 7%. But then again, it was a long time ago, so... So if he says if it's less than 7%, you have a 93% that there's no trefa in any of the other parts of the body other than the lungs, he says that's called a miyachena nikar, and therefore all you need to be mavar the suffix is what's called a ruba the lesser kamon, that in nature the animal doesn't have any physical problems, you know, such vital organs that it's going to die. That's called a miyacheno nikar. Now I would add my own little comment here. The Gra at the beginning of Yoredeya says that with regard to Rov Mitzuyin Etzel Shechita Mumchenheim, so somebody comes from nowhere and he shechts an animal, question is can you rely on the fact that he's a Baki and Hilchot Shechita? So the Shulchan Aruch says that Rov Mitzuyin Etzel Shechita, says the Gaon, even if he's standing in front of you, you don't have to ask him. He says that Rov is so powerful that it's Ke'en Vadai, he says.
Not in this day and age.
All right.
No one accepts anybody's hashkafa.
Okay. So he's saying the following, that if we assume that Cheskas Chaver is enough to be considered a Vadai, which means there's no Miut HaNikar, then Lama Nishayle. Why does Gemara say Nishayle? This seems to contradict all that we've said until now. And this all goes back to the Rishonim, the Rashba, and the Ramban about whether or not we need a bedika in a case of a rov she'ein bo miut nikar. So he says v'tzarech lomar, and this is a bit of a push. The eitz tova bi'alma. The Gemara doesn't mean to. The Gemara is just working out the mitzius here, of how is it that the socher is perplexed about the fact that did the masker fulfill his mitzvah, did he not? Why not just ask him? But it doesn't mean that al pi din, you know, the whole enterprise is suspended until we finally ask him. But rather, Yosef Tov Lishol also. Again, Rav Soloveitchik is only forced to this very difficult position because A, the Ramban Shita, and as I mentioned, the Gaon, that if there's no Miut HaNikar, you don't even need to be Mavar. I mean, he's right there in front of you. You know, the halach is so powerful of this row that you machria the cheskas iser even, and you don't need beer. So what are we going to do with cheskas chaver, which we're saying that a cheskas chaver is so powerful that it removes a vadai? And the Gemara is now equating Vedika with Maisers, that there's a cheskas chaver, and if there's a cheskas chaver, I don't need Vedika. So he suggests that the Gemara is lav dafka, and you don't have to assume that if you're lazy to be bodik him and you don't check him out and call him up and so on, you can't rely on Rov. No, you can rely on Rov even if you have a possibility of birur, and Allah doesn't require you to do the birur. Again, it's a little bit difficult in the pashtus of the Gemara, but that's what he's saying here. You know, me chumras had question, you know, because of the Ramban. That's what he said. I wrote a little note inside. I mean, you don't have to read my hand, my chicken scratch there, but I suggested that maybe there are different types of chazokas. You know, there's some chazokas that are built on an absolute birur, meaning we clarify the reality of things. There are other chazokas that are built on din, meaning the halacha recognizes the chazoka. So, for example, if you're talking about the health of the animal, so that's a reality. That's a mitzius. That most animals, if you check them out, that's why God created the world, are healthy animals. You know, you don't see too many treifas running around. Again, in Rea it's a little different because Rea was common. You know, an animal would swallow a needle or something and it would puncture its lungs. But here, we're talking about a slightly different type of rov here. The rov is maybe a little bit more of a halachic rov. That's what I want to suggest, maybe just throwing it out for your contemplation, that maybe here the din relies on the rov. The din itself creates the rov. And therefore, if the din creates the rov, then we want to be mavar the mitzius, the reality, as much as we can. But what I really want to study with you is the next paragraph, not the next paragraph, but the one afterwards. Let's just read the next paragraph. Tosis says that Eidecha Nem Bisurin applies even with regard to psulim, like for example, an ish is posuliatus, a katan is posuliatus, an evit is posuliatus. However, in the case of biyado, then we have absolute reliance on Eidecha Nem Bisurin. So normally, you have a person who's excluded from Nemanus, and the Torah would not rely on their testimony, but in the case of Biyado, the Torah relies on their testimony. That's what Tosfos says, Maisim B'chol Yom. You know, you come home and your wife says to you, yeah, we took off Truvas and Maisers. Or your wife says she went to the mikvah, right? So we have to rely on her. That's called Biyado. So that's an Nemanus D'oraisa. Okay, so now we have to understand why shouldn't we rely on an Isha, an Evid, and a Katan as far as Bedikas Chametz is concerned. If there's an Emonis of Biyado on a Doraisa level, Kol Shkein, how much more so there should be an Emonis on a Drabonon level? So he says, Hainu Taima, that's why the Gemara makes the distinction between whether there was Bittul or there wasn't Bittul. If there was no Bittul, then we would not rely on these people or who have no Nemanis Midoraisa, even though it's Biyado, and that's what Tosfos is trying to figure out why. If on the other hand there was Bittul, now the Rabbanan say, Hey Mamru, Vehe Mamru, Hemnu Rabbanan, Bid the Rabbanan, and the Rabbanan will rely on that testimony. So Tosfos gives the answer, why in the Doraisa level there was no Bittul, we would not rely on that which is Biyado. And Tosfos says it's not called Biyado because the Tircha Yisera, the Tzarek Dig the Gadol, and so forth and so on. This I remember from the Shia that the Rav told the story about his father that his father once during the Bdika, he asked little Yosha Beryl, you know, he was a loyal child, to climb up to the attic because it was too hard for him to climb up to the attic. So Rav Soloveitchik admitted to us he didn't do such a good job. You know, he felt that his father was chayv in Bdika and he was shirking his responsibility, you know, he was pointing it off on him. So that's a psychological assumption that, you know, if somebody pawns off on you, his chiyuv, you know, you harbor a certain, we'll call it laziness, I don't want to call it resentment, and you're not going to do such a good bedika. Alan, what'd you say?
But this is based on din. This is the din is the
So Rav Soloveitchik built up a whole thesis that, you remember we spoke about Maskir and Sokar in terms of Jehovah's bias.
Yeah.
So he assumed that with regard to the bias, there's a division of labor, so to speak. He didn't use that term, but he said with Hadlokas Ner Shabbos, they the Chachamim were Machayev the Isha. With regard to Bedikas Chametz, they were Machayev the Ish. And therefore, if he says to his wife, you do the Bedika, then she's not so keen about doing the Bedika. He's shirking his responsibility, he's pointing it off on me. So that's called Atzlonios hand. You know, there's certain descriptions that Chazal use, and if you take it out of context, you know, it sounds pejorative. Like, for example, the Gemara says about Kohanim, that Kohanim are Ragzonim. Well, what does that mean? Will Kohanim get more angry than they? We all get angry. Well, you don't have to be a Kohanim to get angry. Sam, you agree with that, or?
The folklore is that Kohanim can't be trusted.
Well, if you look in the Gemara, I'll tell you what the Gemara says. The Gemara says you need what's called a get makushar.
Right, sure.
Right? So the Yerushalmi says, why do you need a get makushar? It takes a tremendous amount of time to prepare the get. And that's in the case of a Kohen. So the Gemara says, because Kohenim ragzonim hem. What the Gemara means is, not that Kohenim have more of a propensity than a Yisrael or a Levi to get angry. It means that if a Kohen gets angry and he divorces his wife, he can never marry her again. You know, if you divorce your wife, I'm not wishing on anybody, but, you know, there's a mitzvah to remarry her. You know, it's Machsin Gushasa, it's a special cue. But in the case of a Kohen, it's irreversible. So I'm just saying that sometimes, you know...
Doesn't bear it out, you know that. The Hanan Rabzanamain does not bear out this apologetic interpretation.
It's not apologetics, it's emislan mito, Sam, because Kohanim are not more Ragzonim. You'll do a study on the genetic nature, you know, now Rav Kahana in the old city, I don't know if he finished his project, Rav Nachman Kahana, he has a whole scientific study of the Kohen genes, you know, he says you can tell from the DNA if you're a Kohen or not. I don't know if it's true or not true, you'll check it out, I don't know. But the point is, do a genetic study and tell me that Kohanim have a gene that's more that has a greater propensity to get angry. I don't think you'll find such a thing. But what it means is, what's the repercussion halachically of getting angry? In the case of a get, if you don't slow up the process of get, and he got angry because his wife was Makdish Tashilo, you know, she gave him a sour, I don't know, whatever, pudding, you know, something. So then, that's it. If he gives a get to his wife, he can never marry her again. Okay, anyway, getting back to this. So now we get to the Tosfos Lav. That was the top Tosfos. The Tosfos says the following. Then in the case of a chaver, that's only a din of a rov. Right? Because the Gemara says the following. That Lav Mishum Dechezkas Boduk, the Kesavar HaKol Chaver Meitzel Bedikas Chometz. Right, so Tosfos says, Tema, if it's Cheskas Baduk, then why do we have to rely on the Isha, the Kot, on the Eved? Omeri, the Mairi Kigon Shebalabais Be'ir. The Afal Gav the Cheskas of Baduk came on the Isha Be'ir Tzorech Lishol Mimenu. Do you see that, Tosfos? He's not saying that it's a good idea to ask him. Tosfos is saying you're absolutely required to ask him. Really? The only substitute for that would be the nemanis of the isha or the eved or the katan. So Rav Salvech says the following: that gam b'toras rov sagi lahakrish cheskas isur. He says, when do you apply the principle that a rov is strong enough to overcome a cheskas isur? That's only when it's a miyut she'eino nikar. In other words, one out of a hundred, or whatever number it might be, let's say seven out of a hundred, would not be masaka in the tevel. And now Tosfos holds that even in the case of a miyut she'eino nikar, Right, because now the Gemara is talking about that's the Dibur HaMaskil La Mishum Dechezkas Baduk, which Rav Soloveitchik interprets to mean that it's a Rov Gomor, a Rov Kivadai, and there's no Miut Nikar, Tzorech Lishal. So Tosfos is against the Ramban. So you remember we said before that there's an issue in Rishonim in a case where we rely on Rov, and that Rov has no Miut HaNikar. Do we have to check it out? So the Ramban says we only look for Rea, a treif and Rea, because it's matzui, it's a mir hanikar. But in the other vital organs of the animal, you know, you don't have to check the liver, the kaved, or any of the other parts of the animal, because that's a mir chein or nikar. Tosus is saying even in a cheskas chaver, which the Gemara on Daf Tes equates with a vadai, nevertheless you have to ask him. Tosus says, and now we're going to look for an emunis to substitute for asking him. He says upligi aramban, and in the next paragraph we'll skip the parentheses for a minute. He says it's against the Ramban. And we have machlokas now between the Ramban and Tosfos. The Ramban, tzir demiu cheino nikar. If you have a ruba de lesser kamon, which is an absolute reliable rov, havikav vadai, and we don't pay any attention to the miut at all, and therefore the vadai removes the suffix. If the vadai removes the suffix, then you don't even have to ask him. But Tosfos is of the opinion that even in a case of a miut, which is not nikar, and even though we would say that that is a din of vadai, but that vadai is conditional on the fact that we did the birur, the maximum birur that we could, and we asked them. And it's only because of the nemanus of the isha, etc., that's what, in a sense, traverses the increment between a rov and a vadai. So we must have she'elah in the absence of any nemanus whatsoever. Now he wants to claim that Rashi is against Tosfos. Because again, you remember the Rashi that we read earlier? Rashi says that if you have a cheskas chaver, ein gimgum vehiluch acharov bedover. It's not like we're saying, well, maybe it came from the rov, maybe it came from the mir, we don't know, let's rely on rov. Ella says, Rashi, cheskas vadai al kol achaverim. And that's why the cheskas chaver al kol achaverim is motzi midei vadai tevo. Because Rashi says it's a vadai. Whereas Tosfos says it's not exactly a vadai, we still have to consider the rov, the miut, even though the miut is einu nikar, and the nafkamina is going to be birur if we have the possibility of birur. So I just wanted to add a little bit of my own Torah here, if you don't mind. The Mishnah at the beginning of Ksubis addresses the issue of svek sveka. What happens is that if a man marries a basula and he finds a pesach pasuach, there's a svek sveka. One suffik is whether the bia took place tachtov or lav tachtov. In other words, maybe the bia that made a pesach pasuach was before they were married, before the erusin, I should say. And even afilim tinksalom and tachtov, maybe it was ba'onis and not barotza. So the Ran asks the following kasha. The Mishnah says at the beginning of Ksubis that they established that a basula nises liyomar avi, because if he finds a pesach pasuach, he should run to Bezdin the very next morning when there's yeshiva's Bezdin on Thursday, and he should claim pesach pasuach. So fekderan, I don't get it. Even if he comes to Bezdin, what is Bezdin going to accomplish here? They're going to send him home back to his wife because it's svek sveka. So why did they make a takana to make sure that he comes into Bezdin with his tainu pesach pasuach, just simply to send him back to his wife with a svek sveka? So the Ran answers, the very first Ran in Ksubis, he says, Hecha di efshel of arure mevarina. That when Bezdin gets this tainu pesach pasuach, they send out what's called a kol, and the voice goes out. We're looking to see if there are any edim. What happened here? What maybe two edim will come by, and that gives us a possibility of bira suffik. And other rishonim disagree with the Ran. They say that this takon is based on something else entirely. That if there's a svek sveka, then enoch inami, we don't have to get him into Bezdin. There's no responsibility to be mavar the suffik. A svek sveka is not something that requires biru.
He's going to hold it against her.
Okay. But I'm just trying to suggest that maybe this issue between the Ran and the other Rishonim about Pesach Pasuch and Svek Sveika might be another reflection of this lumdus, this distinction between the Ramban and Tosfos. Whereas Tosfos is operating within the halach of Sveikas, and whenever there's a Sufek, even if it's a Miyachain or Nikar, you have to be Mavar the Sufek. The Ramban says that if it's a Miyachain or Nikar, and it's a Rov Gomur, it creates a Vadai, we don't have to worry about the Miyut, and therefore there's no need of Birur. I don't even have to bother lifting a finger or picking up the phone. Same issue, I think, will apply to Svek Sveika. How do we view Svek Sveika? One way of saying that is Svek Sveika means that it's so far removed from the original Sufek, because even after the Sufek you end up with another Sufek, that it's not considered a Sufek at all. And the other way of saying it is, no, we have one Sufek, and then we have another Sufek. You know, call it 75%, but it's not a Vadai. And therefore we need Biru. If you hold that Svek Sveika means it's not a Sufek at all, it's a Vadai, you don't need Biru. That would be the other Rishonim. But the Ran understands that Svek Svek is still within the category of Sufek, and therefore whenever there's a possibility of Birur, we require Birur. Okay, Rabbosai, now what I'd like to take a look at, do you have in the Seder Aruch pages Shin Mem Ches and Shin Mem Tes? This would be Perek Sama. I think at some point we gave it out. I don't know who has it, who doesn't have it. So this is a fundamental perek here. He wants to know what's the difference between Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim that applies the whole year round and Sif Yetzias Mitzrayim that applies on the night of Pesach.
Which
perek is it? Perek Samach. Number 60. So there are a number of interesting answers here that were, at least for me, mechudashim, you know, new ideas. He says the following. This is his first answer. The difference between the Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim Halel of Pesach and the Mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim is first the difference in whether or not it's Mefurash B'Torah. Right? The Torah says, with regard to the Mitzvah of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim, that it says, Kol Yemei Chayecha. In other words, it doesn't say Laila in the Torah itself. It's all based on a drush of Chachamim that the extra word kol teaches you lelos. On Leil Pesach, the Torah says explicitly, Balaila Hazazeh, on this night. So you take a look in the footnote here. He says that the Prima Gadim has an introduction to Hilchas Kriyat Shema, and there he makes this distinction between a mitzvah hamafureshes batorah and a mitzvah which is derived from a drasha. So on the night of Pesach, we have two mitzvahs. We have one mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim, like we have on any other night of the year, and now we have a special mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim. The difference is that whereas Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is Nilmedes Midrashas Chachamim, the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim, Bavur Zeh, B'shoshesh Matzu Maror, that's already, he got it to Levincha, is Mefurish in the Torah. Now, Rabbosai, my question to you before we go on to the second answer that he offers is, Meinaf Gemino, who cares whether it's Mefurish B'Torah? So it could be possible that the Prima Gadim holds that Laila, which is derived in Zechira from Kol Yemei Chayecha as a Ribui, is only Derabbana. I don't believe that that's what he has in mind, because although it's a drasha, but it's a drasha gemura. You know, we have something called an asmachta, but this is a full-fledged drasha. But perhaps the nafkamina could be as to whether or not we beat him up. What do I mean? With regard to isurim, and we'll see if we can apply this to mitzvahs, there's a difference between something that's mefurish b'torah and something that's not mefurish b'torah. So with regard to something that's explicit in the Torah, we have to make a macha. You know, if we see somebody that's about to violate this, you know, this was the issue in Mei Sharm. I don't think it's today anymore, but they used to yell, Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. You remember? When they were throwing stones. So instead they threw apples. I don't know what they threw, but Lemaisa, that's the issue. They would claim that since that people are violating the Shabbos publicly, therefore we have to make a macha and yell out Shabbos, Shabbos, Shabbos. So most of the poskim, by the way, say that in our time, you know, you mentioned before, Yechiel, that things have changed in our time. Yeah, so maybe in our time it'll have the opposite of impact. But if it's something that's not mefurish b'Torah, like for example, the Ran at the beginning of the 8th parak of Yoma says that the Nisan es nafshoseichem b'Yom HaKippurim, the 5 inuyim are not mefurish b'Torah. So I don't remember all the distinctions that he makes. I think he divides up the 5 inuyim into 2 categories and so forth and so on. But Lamaisi says that it would be a nafkamina in mecha. If let's say you see somebody eating on Yom Kippur, you have to make a mecha. You have to force him physically to stop and desist from what he's doing. Now, I don't know if there's a parallel distinction in mitzvahs between a mitzvah that's mefurish in the Torah and a mitzvah that is derived from a drashas chacham. Right, maybe in the case of a mitzvah that's not explicit in the Torah, we would say mutav shiyushogig. But in the case of something that's mefurish b'Torah, we would jump in and try to set the record straight.
The chol be effective. There's no reason to assume.
Correct. It's got to be effective. If it's going to have the opposite, like for example, the Gemara says sinas rishayim. So there's a whole literature on this, but just to mention one, there was, I think he's still around, Rav Avram Sherman, he's the head of the Beis Din in Tel Aviv, so he published an article in Tchumin in which his whole thesis was that this mitzvah, lisno es rishayim, basically doesn't apply to this. Because back in the day, if you were marchik someone from the community, it would have a positive influence on him. Again, it's hard for us to even imagine that sociologically. But in our day, he says, you marchik someone, it's going to have the exact opposite impact. But let's go on to the second answer. And this is, I think, the most fundamental answer. He says the following. I think this is against the Maral Miprag that we discussed at great length the other day. You know, the Maral wants to justify that there's no bracha on Sipri Tzitz Mitzrayim. She says, Sakim Shibolev. But you're going to see here, at least according to all those who are in footnote number 4, I'm sorry, yeah, footnote number 4, they all claim just the opposite. That the mitzvah of Zechira the whole year round, that's a mitzvah Shibolev. But the mitzvah of Sipur is v'gadat to l'bincha ein hagada ela v'peh. Now, again, all this is difficult according to the Rambam, because if you remember, the Rambam has a different pasuk for the source of Sipri Tzitz Mitzrayim. That was on page Shin Lamed Tes. Right, Zohar es hayom hazeh asher yatzasim Mitzrayim. So you wonder whether or not this distinction between Zechira and Sipur, or Haggadah if you want to call it that, is correct according to the Rambam. The Rambam actually only quotes V'gadata to prove that this mitzvah of Zohar Sayom Azer Sheyetzasi Mitzrayim applies on Leil Tezvah V'shosheish Matzu Mor Munachim Lefanecha. If not for the Pesuk V'gadata Lebincha, you would wonder whether Zohar Sayom Azer would apply at night or maybe during the day. But the Torah says, "B'shoshiyesh matzu mora munachim lefanecha." So the real source of Sipur, according to the Rambam, is the pasuk Zohar, and not the pasuk V'gadata. So this is a little bit against the Rambam, but nevertheless, I think it's a valid shita in and of itself that the Torah says V'gadata lebincha, and therefore you require Sipur b'peh. Now the drawback to this pshat, it's a beautiful pshat. Again, I can't tell you who the source of the pshat is, because I don't know if you know this, but Besomim Rosh is a very questionable authorship. Okay, they attribute it to the Rosh, but it's not the Rosh. We don't know who it is. It's some sort of fakerai, but
Berlin,
okay.
Berlin, his name.
What?
Berlin, his name was. Hirsch Berlin.
Oh, he made it up?
He made it up.
Oh, that I didn't know. So the Prima Gadim, though, that's a pretty reliable source. And the problem here is that I'm not sure that you could be yotzei the mitzvah of Zohar the whole year round with leiv, without dibur. In fact, you know, the Rambam doesn't count the mitzvah of Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim in the Taryak. the various explanations, where Reb Chaim was of the opinion that the mitzvah of Zechiris Yetzias Mitzrayim is part of another mitzvah that's called Kriyat Shema, Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shemayim. So if you take a look at the third parash of Kriyat Shema, it ends with Anochi Hashem Elokeich Masher Hotzisicha Mitzrayim Liyos Lachem Lelokim. So that was Reb Chaim's point, that Liyos Lachem Lelokim means God took us out of Mitzrayim so that we would accept Him as our master, as our God. But in any event, if we subsume Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim under the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema, then it certainly requires Peh, because it says Shema Yisrael Hashmei Liyoznecha Masha Motzi Mipicha, you have to hear it. In any event, he says the following: the Af Hasovrim Shebekol Hashana In Yotzi Midei Chovas Mitzvah Zechir Behir Alev. He says that's the Shagas Aryeh. And again, I would claim that's the Rambam, but again, the Shagasari probably, you know, he discovered this pshat in the Rambam. Mikolakom yotzin b'shmiya af mi misha eno bar chiyuva. Wow, that's a pella. This is a chsam sofer. So imagine this. We're assuming now that to fulfill the mitzvah of zechira the whole year round, hira is not enough. You have to have an amira. It's got to be bepet. But you don't have to hear it from a bar chiyuva. That's true. That's absolutely true. The Gemara says back and forth that a suma, can he be motzi you in the mitzvah of Haggad if you hear his kriya? And that depends upon whether suma is chayiv in the mitzvah of Sipit Yisrael, or for that matter, all mitzvahs. So you see, you need a bar chiyuva to be yotze with the shmiya of the Haggad. But to say that in Zechira I need an Amira Bepeh, but I can hear it from a La Bar Chiyuva, my mom don't understand that. I have no clue where he got that from. Again, once you need an Amira, then you have to kick in with Shomei Ka'onam. I mean, that by definition. Because the mitzvah is Amira. It's not Shmira and it's not Hira Lev.
But what you're hearing from the La Bar Chiyuva is just something that causes you to have the Zechira.
Correct.
You're not getting the Zechira from him.
But how is it different than Haggadah? I mean, the purpose of your Haggadah is to, you know, feel and whatever it is, gratitude, or it's if you left Mitzrayim, whatever the feeling is. I mean, I don't know what it is, but whatever it is. So who cares if the one who's reading the Haggadah is a Bar Chiyuva? Not. The Gemara says he can't be Yotzi from a Suma if you hold that Suma is part of a mitzvah.
That's Shomei Kahuna. That's because of Shomei. But this, but what John is saying, is the opposite. That it's causing you to think about it.
Right. I'm just saying. Why don't we apply the same thing to Haggadah? If it causes me to think about it, maybe that should be enough. But the answer is, you need a Haggadah Bepeh. If you're going to say that Zechira also needs Haggadah Bepeh, then it's not just enough that, you know, you turn on a, what were those things called when we were kids? A phonograph. What was it called? Those things. You know, Motorola,
a record player
with the big round thing. You know, just turn it on and listen. You know, listen to the Manishtana. You know what I'm saying? Okay, now we get to the third answer. This is very important. Hasibur bepeh. Gee, I don't know why he doesn't have a gimel here. All right, so probably a printing error. Hasibur bepeh hu bepirut ubar chavas hadvarim. So the whole year round, all you need is a zechira koldehu. Just remember zechir tzis mitzrayim. But on this night, you need pirut and you need harchava. He doesn't tell you exactly what the pirut and the harchava is. So for that, I want you to look at the nefesh harav that we gave out. If I can find my copy, here it is. You remember this? Show and tell. So he has here on page Kuf Pei Vav, he speaks about a shaila that came up in Rav Moshe Soloveitchik's Seder one Pesach. And the problem was that the cup of wine for Magid spilled. Do you remember this? So he wanted to know, what do I do in such a case? I'm ready for Gal Yisrael for the last bracha, but my wine spilled. And the question was the following: is it enough that we just pour another cup? Or does he need to start the Haggadah from scratch? Meaning, is it a din that you just need a kos yayin for the bracha of Magid, Gal Yisrael, or the bracha of Magid, and all of Magid for that matter, has to be ala kos. And the kos that he recited that God on is now gone. Now all this Rabosai is a hemshech of what we saw in the previous piece that we spoke about at great length yesterday. And Rav Moshe was vacillating back and forth, and Rav Soloveitchik himself also, as to whether or not we have to combine the Kosel Bracha together with the Shtia of Dalit Kosos. So if we're going to say, if we're going to assume that your Mitzvah Shtia is only Chal on a Bracha, on a Kos that has the Bracha on it, then here this Kos just has the last Bracha. There's still room for the Suffolk. I mean, you could say that maybe the last Bracha is enough to engender a shame Magid on this Kos. So Rav Moshe came to the conclusion that he's got to start from scratch. Lamaisa, in the last paragraph, Hichmir Olav HaGram. So now we have this fascinating question. When you start from scratch, what are the critical elements in the midst of Sipri Yetzias Mitzrayim? He says you have to begin with Avodah Mayinu up to, now I don't know if it's Ad V'Ad Bechlal or Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal. I have a suspicion it means Ad V'Lo Ad Bechlal. Ad V'Tzach Adash V'Achav. And then he fast forwards. This is the, what I call the conservative Haggadah, which is the Rambam's Haggadah, right? It's totally abridged. And he jumps over to Rav Gamliel, and he reads Rav Gamliel, and he gets to the Brach of Gol Yisrael. Basically, he cuts out like half of the Haggadah. You remember all those drushes about how many Makkos they had on Mitzrayim? Leave that all out.
That came much later anyway.
And that came later. That's what he says in the bottom. He says, Kol Zel Yehosof HaMucheres. You know, the expert on this is, what's his name? He has a brother in the Gush who's not well.
Tabori.
Yeah. Yeah. Where is he now? I know he used to be in Arnof. Is he still in Arnof? No. Anyway, he wrote his PhD thesis at Bar Ilan University on the Haggadah. So now we have a critical amount of the Haggadah that's absolutely kuva. That's what he calls Pirut Uvarchavas Dvarim. So we have Avodah Mayinu, that's called Maskel B'Gnus and Masai B'Shvach, and then the entire Haggadah until the Tzach, because that's all Arami Ovid Ovid. And Arami Ovid Ovid is a critical part of the Haggadah. Then you have Rav Gamliel is a critical part of the Haggadah, and finally the Bracha of Magid. So we have the question and answer with the Manish Tana, we have Avodah Mayinu, then we have Arami Ovid Ovid, and then we have Rav Gamliel, Kol Shalom HaShlosh Dvar Meil. Those are the critical elements in the Haggadah. Now he writes at the bottom that maybe he should be holding the cup for the entire Haggadah. Not this cup. That for sure he has to be holding. But I'm talking about the cup of wine. He's got to be holding the cup of wine for the entire Haggadah. Why? Because if we're saying that in order to set it up as a shtia of a kosher bracha, in this case the second bracha is on Magid, Magid incorporates all the critical elements in Magid that culminates with the bracha of Gol Yisrael. I don't know, have you ever seen anyone who was machmir like that? You really have to be a super duper brisker.
On what? My feet, I'm holding it the whole
time. Holding the cup the entire time.
Yeah, Weiss.
Yeah, that's what I do also. But
how do you move the matzah and uncover
it? I guess you have to use your left hand.
Put it
there. Right.
It's pretty hard to hold a cuss for such a long time. You have to take a break somewhere in the middle.
Like,
unless you're an Arab Ramadan, you know. Even the Ramadan, I think they take a break for every night. Can't fast for 40 days straight. Unless you're Moshe Rabbeinu on the Har. You know what I'm
saying? Newest invention for the next Kumra is to have something to hold your hand up.
That's good, yeah. I think, Rabbi, you should patent it. I really
the brisket brace.
Very good, excellent, wow.
And we'll call that Derech Hirut.
So here he's up to number 4, I think. I don't know, we'll call it number 3, but I think it's number 4. He says the following, that Chayav Adam Liras Asatzmo, you know, you don't have this on a daily basis with regards to Sechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim. On the Leil HaPesach, the Sipur has to culminate, has to impact on the person emotionally, feeling as if he himself left Mitzrayim. Okay. Oh. Now he has another answer. This is on page Shin Nun. This is also very fundamental. He says that the mitzvah of Sipur Yetzias Mitzrayim requires, as the Rambam formulates it, that we mention the Nisim, the miracles that brought about Yitzias Mitzrayim. Masha enkein mitzvah zechira shel kol hashana, dai shemazkir shakadosh baruch hu tzienu mitzrayim. You don't have to mention the Nisim. So how many answers do we have so far? I think we have 5, no? If somebody could keep a scorecard. Then he has number 6. He says that the mitzvah zechira Yitzias Mitzrayim on the whole year round is, you could be Yotzei, even if you mention, that we were redeemed from Mitzrayim through Kriyas Yamsuf, but the mitzvah Sipitis Mitzrayim, we have to speak about those miracles that took place on the night of Tesvav. Bolinetta will talk about this at great length, and he attributes this to the Chassam Sofer. It's very interesting because I heard this from my Rebbe. Let me see if he quotes the Rav at all here. No, right now I don't see it. But if you go back to footnote number 13 on the previous page, he says the following. The Gemara itself, actually it's the Mishnah, says Liros es atzmo kiilu hu yotze Mitzrayim. The Rambam has a different nusach. He has Laharos es atzmo. So in other words, according to the Rambam, it's not just the emotional experience of feeling as if I left Mitzrayim, but also we have to do a Maisa, and we have to demonstrate that we left Mitzrayim. Kilu hu atzmo yotze Mitzrayim. And the Rambam requires, number 1, Heseba, number 2, drinking Dalid Kosos Derecherus, and that's how we demonstrate that we left Mitzrayim. The Rambam also adds one word. He says Ki'ilu Yatzanu Atom Mitzrayim with an ayin. In other words, it's not just enough that we show other people as if we left Mitzrayim. We have to feel as if we experience Yitzias Mitzrayim ourselves now. And therefore Machshava is not enough. According to Rambam, you need Laharos es Atzmo. Next, number Vav here, which I think is number 7 or 8 on our account. Anyway, he says that Asiyas HaMitzvos are part of the mitzvah of Sipitzis Mitzrayim. In fact, you remember that we discussed the possibility that if you don't have matzah and you don't eat the matzah, you're not in fulfillment of Sipitzis Mitzrayim. Again, that's, I think that was Rabbeinu Yerucham, if I remember correctly. So there is one such a shita that the Ikar mitzvah of Sipitzis Mitzrayim requires the mitzvah halayla when the Pesach was in Pesach, matzah, maror, dalet kosos, all these are integrated into one matrix, into one constellation of Sipitzis Mitzrayim.
So Sipur is not a separate mitzvah, but you have to include the other parts as well?
Not only that, I mean, it goes really far. I mean, I keep forgetting if it's Rabbeinu Yerucham, if somebody wouldn't mind just double-checking. But anyway, well, if you don't mind, we'll call it Rabbeinu Yerucham for the time being. I could have mixed up two shittas. But his shita is that we don't count Sipritis Mitzrayim in the Taryag. Why? Because the mitzvah is Matzah, Maror, Pesach, etc. There's no separate mitzvah of Sipur. It's the Maisim themselves. Now, even if we don't go that far, one could still argue that Sipur as an independent mitzvah requires Matzah. For example, I told you that on the Mishnah of Rabbi Gamliel, there are two interpretations of the Mishnah, right? It says, Kol shelo amar shloshet dvarim lo yotzi dechovos. What does it mean, lo yotzi dechovos? Some say, lo yotzi dechovos matzah. That if I didn't recite the Haggadah, or at least whatever is critical in the Haggadah, then I wasn't yotzi the mitzvah of matzah. It's not just in the mitzvah of eating matzah. We have to eat a lechem oni, sha'onim olav dvarim harbet. The other shita was, lo yotzi dechovos, he didn't fulfill sipur. That's a simpler understanding. But some say that it's not just the explanation of the matzah, but it's the explanation of the matzah together with the achilas ha-matzah. And the achilas ha-matzah is part of the mitzvah of Sipur. It always occurred to me that maybe Haseba is the catalyst or the agent that transforms the achilas matzah into Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim.
If that were the case, then the bracha for Magi should come after the achilah.
Well, are you assuming that, like the, who is the Shiboli Aleket, that the bracha of Magid is a birchas ha-mitzvah?
Not necessarily.
Not necessarily.
You finish the Sipur part. Now you have the mitzvah salayla.
Right, so maybe we should integrate the mitzvah laila before the sefer is ended, and then end the sefer with Gal Yisrael.
If it's sefer in any way, then you would have the bracha afterwards. That you don't have anywhere.
I mean, the simple answer to your question, because it's a very profound question, would be the following, that there are two parts to the mitzvah of sefer. One part is sefer b'peh, and one part is sefer al-yedei ma'isa. So the sefer b'peh culminates with that bracha of Gal Yisrael. But your question is better than my answer. In other words, if achilas hamatzah is an integral part of sefer, why don't we close the sefer with Gal Yisrael after we eat the matzah?
Like right after
okay.
Korea.
Now this answer number 7, again I think it's more than number 7, this is something I heard from the Rav over and over again. He claims that the Brisker Rav had this yisod, and that is that limud halacha is part of the kiyum of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. That's why we have a whole paragraph in the Haggadah of the, you know, the 5 Tanoim there that were learning the halachas, and that was the key of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. And again, the last mishnah in Psachim says, "Ad ein maftirin achar Pesach afikomon." I mean, it depends on the gear, so whether you have the word ad or not, but you have to. Where the Ben HaChacham asks, Ma Eilus V'Achukim, Ma Eilu Lachem, right? And we have to, according to the Haggadah, we have to answer him, Afato Amolo, Kehilchas HaPesach, Ad Ein Maftir Nachi Pom. So the Gaon says, if you have the Girsa Ad, it means you have to learn with him all of the Halachas of Karban Pesach. He was asking, Ma Avodah, he wants to know about the Avodah, you have to learn with him. And this again reflects that shita that we've mentioned many times, that the mitzvah sefer is really a mitzvah of Talmud Torah. You need shail and tshuva, and maybe you need a birchas haTorah, we said, and kifidaito shel ben oviv melamdo, chanoch lenar pidak, all these features and dimensions of Talmud Torah. And of course, being Dorish Parshas Arami Ovid Ovi, it's not enough to read the Torah Shavuot Ksav, you have to interpret the Torah Shavuot Ksav and Torah Shavuot Peh. These are all halachas in Talmud Torah. And now we can add this yesod here of Talmud Torah, and that is that learning the halachas themselves, whatever you want to say it, is a kiyum of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. Once again, I would say there are two parts to Sefer Mitzrayim. One part is Sefer Nisim, and the other part is Limud Halachas. The Limud Halachas is also an extended part of Sefer, but it's a separate entity within the matrix of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, like what we said before about Achilas Matzah. Also, Limud Halachas. Because that would answer the famous question about Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah. Right? Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah was one of the 5 Tanoim, and it says that Shabbo Talmideim. Now, Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah holds that Eina Pesach Nechal El Ad Chatzos. And we assume that Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim is Bavur Zeh, which means only one. So what was he, you know, maybe he was just being nice to the other Tanoim because they didn't agree with him. They held the Pesach as Nechal Ad HaBoker.
It's because he was in Bnei Brak.
Yeah, in Bnei Brak, for sure.
No, because of Rabbi Akiva.
Oh, that he was the Moro Roy. Yeah, there are 1,000 answers to this question, but I wanted to add my own answer, that maybe there are two parts to the mitzvah Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim. One part is Bavur Zeh, you know, to tell the story and how God Poseach held this. And that's up till Chatzos. What Rabbi Loz Ben Azariah was being Mekayim was the second part of Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, maybe the Talmud Torah part.
Is it certain that Bavur Zeh means?
Is it certain that?
That Bavur Zeh means when the mitzvah is there, rather than when it is there. Like if you finish eating at 9 o'clock and you still say Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim, the sipur.
You mean, do you need the actual matzah in front of you, or the Korban Pesach in front of you? That's a machlokas, I think. There are two deis about that. Some say Bavur Zeh means the Zman HaMitzvah. It doesn't mean that you have to have this. The other said it's not the Zman HaMitzvah, you have to have the Cheftz of the Matzah Bavur Zeh that you can point to.
And what was the second?
The other simple way of learning it is that it's totally in the Zman HaMitzvah. So, but as again, we mentioned before that some Rishonim seem to hold that if you don't eat the Matzah, you're not Yotzei the Mitzvah of Sipur. So it's not just the, you know, Bavur Zeh, it's not just the Zman HaMitzvah, but you need to implement the Mitzvah. Then he goes on and says the following. This is number Ches. He says the mitzvah Sefer Yetzias Mitzrayim below Pesach kolelis gam chiyuv hodah. Again, something I heard from my Rebbe. He used to hack this into our heads that part of the mitzvah of Sipur is to thank Hashem. Right, the Gemara says that what would you do if your Adon freed you? So you tell him how much you praise him and how much you thank him and appreciate him. So he says, this is the essence of the mitzvah. In fact, the word Haggadah, according to Targum Yonas and Ben Uziel, means Shevach Vodoya. That's the taitch of the word Vigadita. And when we talk about Hallel on Leil HaPesach, we already recited Hallel in the Beis HaKnesses, and now we have another Hallel that's integrated into the fabric of the Seder, because it's part of the mitzvah CPT's Mitzrayim. Could be that Hallel in Beis HaKnesses, maybe women are exempt. But as far as Sipur Yitzis Mitzrayim and the Hallel in the Sipur, women are obligated in that. Afein Hoy Bosa Nes, they have no less of an obligation to thank Hashem than we do. Now it's very interesting, you know, Chazal don't tell us anywhere, as far as I know, why we choose Arami Ovid Ovi on Leil HaPesach. Arami Ovid Ovi in the Torah is the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim. What's the connection between the mitzvah Bikurim and the mitzvah Sipur? So Rav Soloveitchik always points out that if you look in the Rambam in Sefer HaMitzvos and you do a comparative study between the mitzvah Sipur and the mitzvah of Mikra Bikurim, it's almost word for word. The Rambam says that in both cases you have a mitzvah of thanking Hashem. And therefore, since when the Torah says you thank Hashem for the fruits, for the crops, the Torah specifies exactly how you do that. And that's the parasha of mitzvah Bikurim. Because again, the Rambam defines this mitzvah of Bikurim as Hodah. And the Hodah now has a specific form, and the Torah is explicit about that. So we have a principle called Yalfinan Sasu Min HaMafurosh. In the case of Haggadah, if Haggadah is a mitzvah of Shevach Vodah, it's Sasu. The Torah doesn't tell me how to fulfill this mitzvah. So Yalfinan Sasu Min HaMafurosh, if the Torah tells you in the case of Mikra Bikurim, this is how you have to thank Hashem, the same thing is going to apply in the case of Sipritis Mitzrayim. Hagrachmi bris kayamona arba avdelim be mitzvah sechira le mitzvah sipur. Number one, mitzvah sechira kol hashana is odo mazkir li atzmo. There's no communication, no need for interaction. But b'leil pesach tzorch lesaper shelo tshuva ben shoel v'av meshiv. So that's the first difference, that the tzuras hakiyum is question and answer. Number two, mitzvah zechira kol hashana is die. It's enough. She yazkir in yonah shel yitzias mitzrayim bilvad. Ve'ilu b'leil pesach tzorch lesaper bar chova in detail. And he says that this part of the mitzvah is excuse me, lesaper shtal shelus hayonim. In other words, blow by blow, cause and effect. You know, it's like studying history. We want to know how the events occurred. And that's called Lahaskel Bignus Ulesayim Bishvach. Number three, B'leil HaPesach Tzorch Lesaper Taimei HaMitzvahs. And that's Rav Gamliel. Number four, he says, in Zechiras Mitzrayim, it's not a mitzvah unto itself, but it's part of the mitzvah of Kriyat Shema. Okay, that's not an afkemina, but that's just the way you conceptualize it. Maybe he means to say that the ultimate kium of Sipur Yitzrayim is Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shvayim, therefore it's part and parcel of Kriyat Shema. Now in the footnotes he quotes here the Emek Bracha, number 22. But I know this from the Yartzeit. Oh, here, he has the Yartzeit here, good. On number 23, so he has a discussion here about the Rambam's omission of Zechiras Yitzis Mitzrayim in the Minyan HaMitzvahs. Okay, I'm surprised he quotes this Yirun Zechar B'mori, but there's a whole piece on the difference between Zechira and Sipur. I don't know, somehow that got lost over here. Oh, maybe that's in the next paragraph. Chobes Kabbalah Sol Malchus Shmayim Vayminu B'Hashem Moshe Avdo Hashem Yilchum Rishima Sagram Shurkin. Okay, fine. But there's more to it in the Shirim L'Zei Chama. I don't have it with me today. Maybe I'll bring it in another day. That's that. Now, I have here a bunch of my notes. How much time do we have? We have 5 minutes? So again, I'm not going to bore you to death here with all my notes here, but I would like to share maybe one idea with you. Maybe even two. We'll see. Now, there's a machlokes in the Tosefta between Beis Hillel and Beit Shammai with regard to the second part of Hallel, which starts with B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim. So according to Beit Shammai, that should be earlier in the night. And Beis Hillel says, no, it should be closer to Chatzos. So Omru Beit Shammai Beis Hillel v'chikvar yotzu shemazkirin yitzias Mitzrayim. Oh, no, I'm sorry, I got it wrong. So Beis Hillel says you should recite it earlier. And Beit Shammai says, no, the second half of Hallel should be recited at Chatzos. And Beit Shammai turned to Beis Hillel and they say, v'chikvar yotzu b'mitzrayim shemazkirin yitzias Mitzrayim. Why do we recite Petzeis Yom Mitzrayim? We haven't even gone out yet. It's way before Chatzos. So therefore, the second half of Hallel, which starts with Petzeis Yom Mitzrayim, according to Beit Shammai, should be postponed until right before Chatzos. Amalem Beis Hillel. Afilu humamtin ad krus hagever. He says, in the context of your argument, I could counter by saying that even if you wait till Chatzos, that's not going to do it. Why? Harei lo yotzu ad sheish shos bayom. Right, it was only midday on the 15th of Nisan that we went out of Mitzrayim. Shenemar vayhi bi'etzem hayom hazeh hotzi Hashem es kol b'nei Yisrael me'eretz Mitzrayim. Is hechatem omrim geula v'yadayin lo nigalu. So now we're stuck because Beit Shammai wants to make sure that the second half of Hallel is recited at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim. But Beis Hillel says, wait a minute, if you're going to go with your approach, then we have to wait till Krus HaGever, and even that's not enough. You're going to have to postpone Hallel until midday on the 15th because of B'etzem HaYom HaZeh Hotzi Hashem Es B'nei Yisrael. So I don't know if I have time now to give you the whole thing to try to understand Beit Shammai Beis Hillel, but what I want to do is just mention a very important medrash on the pasuk in Shmos Yud Beis, pasuk Lamed Beis, Lamed Aleph. It says, "Vayikra leMoshe liAaron Laila." Paro calls Moshe Rabbeinu and Aaron at night. This is the night of Makas Bechoros. "Vayomer Kumu Tzu Mitoch Ami Gam Bnei Yisrael Yelchu." Ivdu es Hashem kidivrecha. So the Medrash says the following: Kumu tzu malamed shayaparo dofek al pischon shal Moshe v'Aaron balayla v'omer lahem kumu tzu mitoch ami. You know, he's banging on the doors and saying, "Get out of here." Omrulo. So Moshe and Aaron return shote v'chi ganovim anu shenelech balayla. We get thieves and we're going to sneak out of the middle of the night. Baboker on a yotzin. So Paro responds, "Kvar mesim kol Mitzrayim." Now he didn't think that it was only the Bechoros; that was just the beginning. So Paro says, "You don't get out by the time in the morning; the whole Mitzrayim is gone." Maybe that would have been good news. I don't know, but not from Paro's perspective. Shenema ki omru kulanu mesim, because the Avdei Paro said kulanu mesim. Omrulo. So Moshe and Aaron retort, "Mevakesh atol lechalos es hamaka azum imcha." You want to terminate the maka? Emor, declare, "Harei atem bnei chorin, harei atem bershuschem, harei atem avodav shel mokom." Hischil paro tzavach, l'sha'ovar ayisem avodai, aval achshav harei atem bnei chorin, harei atem bershuschem, harei atem avdei Hashem. And then Paro adds, "Utzrichem atem lahalel." So Paro's given us a grosser lab. You know, he Until now, he repeats Moshe Rabbeinu's formula like a tukki, but now he adds his own piece, and he says, "Utzrichem atem lahalalo." Why? Because he just finished saying, "Arei atem avde Hashem." So, "Utzrichem atem lahalalo, shatem avodov, v'nemar haluka halu avde Hashem." Even Paro could quote a pasuk in Tanakh. Haluka halu avde Hashem, and you are now avde Hashem, and therefore you have to recite halal. The fascinating thing is that the Bnei Yisrael did not recite Halal until they got to Yamsuf a week later. But anyway, it's clear from the Medrash that even though the Yitzhiyah Mitzrayim was in the morning, Paro was Meshachar them already at night, because that's when the Makkah terminated. So they became, the transition between becoming, being Avdei Paro and being Avdei Hashem took place at night. And that's the time for Halal. So if that be the case, we could begin to understand Beit Shammai. Beit Shammai holds that the Mechayev of Halel is not B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim on the Yitziah, but rather B'tzeis Yisrael Mitzrayim means for the termination of Avdus to Paro. And that took place immediately after Makas Bechoros on the night of Tesvav B'Nis. Alright, then Belinetta will try to embellish this another time, but now I think it's... Yeah, it's already time for me.